welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 406 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. Just been admiring your bike and your new carrier on the front.
Front rack, very yeah. Good. I've just been, yeah. Well, I went to the retail park and got some big bag of guinea pig food. So the guinea pigs are happy now, and I'm happy because I can transport one more thing on my bike, so or lots more things.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you can carry weight on the front without kicking you off.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can carry more weight on a rear rack, but I prefer to have the weight up there or a little bit of it, just a bit more, control it a bit more. And yeah. At some point I will get a rear rack as well for lugging, or a trailer at the back for lugging more stuff around. But it's good fun. It's good fun. But we've been chatting for 15 minutes before we came on air, putting the world to rights because things are heating up on planet Earth more and more, aren't they? How long till the things get hot, Sean?
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's watch this space. It's like there are so many things that are a bit iffy at the moment, from finance through all kinds of trade and commerce to social interactions, right the way down to the virus. You know, it's like everywhere you look, there's interesting things going on.
Yes. It's easy to kind of get breathless and very anxious about all this stuff, isn't it? Even I can feel it going sometimes. So hopefully this podcast and the course that we have been running over the last 8 or 9 weeks can go some way to letting people know that you don't have to get caught up in the madness of it all, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the point, really, is that it's the issue of, through that process of mindfulness and learning to be in the present, that you end up in control of it and it's not in control of you, so that you're the master of your own destiny. As near as we can get to that.
Yeah. So, liveinthepresent.co.uk for the links. We're going to do week 9 of the 10-week course. And we're giving away a chapter from the book each week, which you can download from the website. So go and have a look at that. I'm going to share my screen now for those watching on YouTube, just so we've got some kind of notes to go along with. If you're listening online just through a podcast, don't worry. You're just missing a few little pointers for Sean and I to keep us on track. So, yeah. Step 9, Sean. In the book, this one is called Relativity, but you had a different title in your initial PowerPoint. Go on.
It was to do with the and it's the relevance, really, of the PowerPoints are really useful, but you do need to read the chapters. Ideally, at some point, you'll need to do the course if you do the course. And actually, I'd like to say a thank you to the amount of people that have said to me. I did the course, that course with you years ago. Someone said it was 10 years ago. And they have, and it's been really useful going through this process of revisiting. So I've kind of gotten back on track again.
That's cool.
Which is good. But I've had a few messages like that. So thank you for your messages, people. Yeah.
It's right. Sometimes it's worth reading the same book over and over rather than hundreds of different self-help books. So
And the thing is that people say, why do you read the book over and over again? Because it doesn't change. And the point is, it doesn't change, but you change. So you see different things in the book that you read. You get different messages from it because your perceptions change. Yeah. So what we're looking at in this week is we've gone through the process of letting go, getting into the present, and starting to create the world that we want. And that's always an interesting time because people are trying to do things and things get in the way and there's barriers and blocks and all that kind of stuff. So in the book, if you read the chapter, I start off with the idea of everything's relative, like it's a kind of an emotional relativity. So the idea that if you're flying a plane or you're captaining, do captain a boat, whatever you do, whenever you do a boat, you point it in the right direction, but because there's energy moving around you all the time, if you're in an aeroplane, the wind is always blowing you off course. So as a pilot, you don't steer the plane. What you do is you point it in the right direction, and then you spend your life correcting your position to keep you on target. And that's when you're doing this kind of stuff where you're trying to change your life and you're trying to do things that forever the currents of the water or the currents of the air, other people's emotions, their needs, their drives, will be knocking you off course all the time. And you have to keep correcting to keep yourself on course. And don't allow the energies of the world or the negativities of the world, like COVID or whatever, to knock you off course. Keep going, correct, correct, correct all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Tiny little adjustments along the way, rather than the need for massive changes of direction every few months.
Yeah, right. It's keeping your hand on the tiller and just kind of, you know, making sure that you are going in the right direction, which is so important.
Yeah.
So the issue.
Just quickly, a good little anecdote. So I've got my other podcast, Rethink Now, which I'm just getting going again after a bit of a break, and I spoke to a guy called Jorn. From the Netherlands, who is starting up a business where he'll be using wind-powered clipper boats for sail cargo around the world, you know, trying to get to this net zero world of where we don't use any energy and fossil fuels. And I asked him about that. You know, the obvious question is, what do you do when it's not wind, when it's the wind's not blowing, or the wind's blowing in the wrong direction? And I mean, the skill that a mariner that navigates by the wind has is unbelievable. But he does say that sometimes, the wind will almost die out completely, Ed, and sometimes you just gotta wait for a few hours, do nothing, and then it'll pick, but it always comes back, and then you can get going again.
Amazing. I love that idea of because they I don't know what kinds of sails he's using, but there were experiments where they'd be using sails that were like the wings of aeroplanes. They were using those because they could control them more.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing it proper old school rigging style. But there are some businesses out there that are doing it a bit more high tech. Fascinating stuff. But anyway, use the wind.
Yeah.
Use that tailwind when you can.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So what we're looking at, we're looking at the idea of we've got dreams, we've got ideas, we've got things that we want to do. If we've got rid of the past, we're going to focus on what we need to actually stay on course to do what we want, which is the kind of persistent, consistent stuff that we talk about throughout the book. But the issue is that it's a bit like no goal is too big and no goal is too small. Some people want to change the world. They want to kind of, they want to be Donald Trump. Some people want to do small things, But there's no big or small. It's about what is it that makes you feel good. So it's like it's not a competition. You know, this isn't a race. And one of the things I really don't like about racing, and this really cheeses off a lot of the fellas that I know, if we talk about it, because I don't understand why you'd want to run a race. Because if nine of you set off to run a race, that means that eight people are going to be disappointed. I don't get the odds. It's okay if you're going to run because it's fun, but if it's like, we've got to have a winner, that means there's going to be eight people out of the nine who are just not good, you know. The idea that, you know, in looking after each other and doing things together rather than I need to be better than you and I've got, you know, do we look down on people? Do we look up at people? You know, why don't we just look at people? So it's that whole idea about staying on course, but not looking at the place. It's like when I teach yoga, I'll watch some people, they're trying to get a leg somewhere. And they're not focusing on their own leg and working with taking the tension out of their leg. They're looking at the people around them and they're thinking, oh, my God. So they're starting to yank their leg about so that they can look good to other people rather than actually just being in their own thing. And that's the bit that's important. Other people's dreams are important, but they're no better or worse than yours. That's the bit that's important, yeah? Mm. And one of the things about when we're looking at how we work together with people, when you look at people around you, lots of people are resources. It's like we don't need to reinvent the wheel. It's like I can say to you, Ed, can you do this with the website? You know, I don't know how to do it. I haven't got a clue, but you do, you know. And it's like the people around us are helpful resources if we all look after each other. you know, we can be helping other people, they can help us, you know.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. But it's focusing on what we want to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end of the interview with Jorn on Friday, we finished and he said, it was a compliment to me, but he was saying, that was amazing, Ed. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep a conversation going for that amount of time. And you're so natural. And he was quite amazed. And I was like, Jorn, you're like a master mariner. You can sail around the world, you know, using nothing but the wind. That's amazing. But at the same time, you know, yeah, fair dues. I can do the podcast. He can do the sailing. We all have our own little skills, don't we, that we're good at.
Yeah. And it's like if we work to our strengths, we're successful. Well, one of the things that I see a lot when I'm in organizations is you'll get somebody who can't delegate. And because they can't delegate, they become kind of inefficient. Yeah. And it's like we have to learn to work with each other. So one of the quotes I really like is this one about in a world where all is one, where everything is one thing, then strangers are simply family that we have yet to get to know. And if we can see other people around us as our brothers and sisters and work together, that's when we become really effective. You know, how much of life is a competition rather than us being happy with who we are? Ree gave me a quote the other day from someone, I can't remember who it was, I think it was a guy called Chetty, life isn't about how I see me. It's not about how you see me. It's about me worrying about how you see me. You see, you get what I mean? So it's like, am I trying to impress other people so I want them to see me in a certain way? Yeah. And it's like, we need to just be ourselves and fulfill ourselves. Yeah. Well, one of the things is that we get a lot, I get it in the therapy work I do, but you get a lot of it with on the course where you've got people that are saying, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, God, oh, no, no. And that's part of the negative paradigm that people are holding about who they are. And it's like, once you start to wake up a bit and you can see that for what it is, it's like if you feel bad about yourself, the chances are that you've learned it. It's a habit. And if you can work with changing that habit, then you can realize that you can become as perfect as everybody else. You are perfect. You know, it's like you can look in the mirror and go, oh, my God, I'm so ugly. But, you know, how your liver works and your heart works and your lungs work and, like, your feet keep your bum off the ground and they move you around. You know, it's like our bodies are amazing things. We are perfect things if we see it that way. Or we can go, oh, my God, my lips are so thin, I need some filler. You know, it's silly, yeah? So that whole thing about the first you need to do is you have to learn to love yourself. And to actually enjoy being who you are. So the stuff that we say further on, further back in the course about, you know, going to the bathroom mirror, looking yourself in the eyes, saying I love you, feeling that kind of gratitude for who you are for yourself, rather than reinforcing the negative all the time. And one of the things on this slide, if people are reading it, the last bit on this slide is you need to be a human being, not a human doing. And one of the problems that I see in the majority of people is they don't feel right unless they're doing something.
Yeah.
You know, they can't just be, they've got to do.
Yeah. I can be a little bit guilty of that myself sometimes, and me and the missus, Bethan, for sure. Now that the boys are at an age where they can take care of themselves for large chunks of the day, you know, especially at the moment when we're stuck inside and, you know, they just want to go and have an hour or two on the PlayStation or whatever. So, we have these little chunks in our day now, especially at the weekend where we have nothing to do. We're kind of sitting there wondering what to do. And we do get that feeling like, I need to go and clean the bathroom, or I need to go and do this, or we should do something. But yeah, the line second from the end there, doing is often an avoidance of self, is fascinating, really, because it's like I see it, you know, when I go out and I'm on the school run, everyone's buzzing around, everyone's busy, everyone's got stuff to do, busy. It's like, what are we avoiding when we're trying to get, like, be busy doing things? It's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, and most of what we're avoiding is unresolved emotion. It's interesting, if you go and do one of the 10-day Vipassana meditation programs, where effectively you're doing nothing for 10 days, after 2 or 3 days, you'll see people starting to get a bit emotional. And it's because they're now facing the emotions they've been avoiding for however long. And it'll take them a few days to clear that through their system before they start to balance down again. Mm. Yeah. So this next slide is something. Someone actually said to me once, they actually said the equivalent of, okay, you clever, whatever. What's your definition of success? That was how it started. And my definition of success was simply is, if you go to the bed at the end of each day with a smile on your face and thankful for all that the universe has given you today, and if you wake up with a smile on your face with a positive visualized expectation of what your day will bring, then you're starting to live in a world of positivity. Yeah. And when you're in that situation, and when you can start to see any obstacles or setbacks, not as problems, but as opportunities to grow and learn. You know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn this lesson, rather than, oh my God. Yeah. And it's staying with the positive. And that's something which is really fundamental. The people that I see that are the most successful in whatever they're doing, whether they want to make loads of money or whether they want to build a community thing, whatever, the people that are the most successful are the people that are happy and positive. When they walk into a room, they kind of light it up and people go, oh, hiya, and the energy comes up, yeah? And that's where the success comes from, but it comes from focusing on the positive and not on the negative, yeah? So, so, so important, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I chatted to a parent at school on the way home yesterday, walking the same route back, and turns out he's retired recently. And he's, you know, he's older than me, but younger than you. So he's probably, I don't know, mid, late 50s, I'd say, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's retired. And his job at the moment is just to walk the dog. They've just got a new family dog. And that's all he's got going at the moment. And, you know, my instinctive thing was, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with all this time? And I don't think he's figured it out yet, to be honest. And we didn't talk for too long. But is that idea that we have to do something? I assume there's a certain amount of financial freedom he has now, which is cool, which not all of us have, and financial overheads are a big cause of, you know, busyness, you know, and that kind of that need to pay the bills and, you know, get by month by month. So, but yeah, maybe he doesn't need to be busy. Maybe he can spend the last 30 years of his life, 40 years, whatever, you know, just working on his garden or like, who knows? We can.
Working on your garden is doing something. Mm-hmm. You know, going and do some charity work is doing something. I think what we get into the habit of is, if you're not doing something, then you're a lazy bugger. That's the first thing. There is sometimes a money thing in it. But it is also true that people that retire and do nothing usually get depressed and get physically unwell. Yeah, you need stimulation. You know, hobbies, games, sports, whatever, that keep you going. That's the bit that is really, really important.
Yeah.
And it's living in the happy space. You know, what makes you happy? Yeah.
And this comes right back to the root cause of the entire book, really. In the core, you know, you can spend 60 years of your life doing work that isn't fulfilling. Just so that you can spend the last 20 years of your life, you know, doing what you really want to do, or you can spend your entire life trying to figure out what you want to do and make sure that the whole chunk, you know, you're not on your deathbed thinking, oh, I wish I'd done less of that and more of this.
Yeah, and one of the things that is important in that too, as we looked at earlier on in the program, was that if you are in a situation where you have to do things that you don't necessarily enjoy that much, you know, you might be working on a line in a factory or something. If you start to focus on the negativity of it, then every day becomes, oh God, not again. You know, whereas if you can focus on the positivity of it and the positive of the people around you, and you start to tune into the positives, you're not being a naive kind of illusionist. You're being somebody who is accepting the positive out of what's going on, you know? And it does, it transforms your life. It does. It does. You know, do you want to focus on the negative or the positive? It's a choice.
What did Einstein have to say? Why do we need to remember him?
Well, it's interesting this, because Einstein created the maths that allowed the bomb to be created, which was so fundamentally destructive. And once he had done it, he started to panic a bit, and he actually asked a lot of the world leaders, is the universe a safe place to live in? Because he was thinking, if people felt it was safe, they wouldn't let the bomb off. That was his fears about it all. And the thing is that, yes, the universe is a safe place under the laws of attraction. Yes, it has to be. It is. If we're positive, yeah? If we all focus on the negative, then we can really, really create a negative world if we want to, yeah? But that's the law of attraction. It's what are we going to produce out of it? There is a book out by Joe Vitale called The Attractor Factor, which some of this stuff came from when we were doing the course. And it's the issue about being able to take control of your life so that you're doing what you want. But that means taking control of your thoughts and your feelings and then your actions and actually being able to do it. So using things like meditation and visualization. But the thing is that the world is a safe place if we focus on the safety. And the easiest way to learn to focus on the safety is taking control, is the meditation and the visualization. I know that over time, for many years, I've tried to get you meditating, and one day we will. maybe riding your bike is a meditation.
Yeah, well, that's my fallback in it. That I used to say that, yeah, that's when I get my thinking done, is when I'm, well, it used to be on my 25-minute commute into work on my bike, but I haven't got that at the moment, so I've been trying to go out once, two, three times a week on longer rides just to kind of find that time again, really, and other people go for a run, don't they, or all sorts of things.
Yeah, it's whatever works for you to get that space, but very often when people are running, they will clear their mind enough to be able to kind of make decisions and do all that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and enjoy the power of now, right? That's the great thing that I love about riding a bike. Well, apart from it's kind of led me to question everything in my life, to be honest. But I won't go into all that now. But when you are riding a bike, you are focused on every pedal stroke and every little turn of the handlebar, and it's a really good way of living in the present, I find.
Yeah, and one of the things is that when you're on a bike and you're trucking along, if you do lose your concentration, that's when you fall off or you hit something. You have to be stay awake and aware is good, yeah? Mm-hmm. The issue about being in the now is that, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, you know? Like, it's the things that I will do, I'll do them tomorrow, yeah, okay? And it's like, you can only actually do something in the now. You can't change what has happened. You can't change the past. And what will happen, it could be the result of what you do today will create what happens tomorrow. But you can't actually live tomorrow today. You can only live in the now. Yeah. And it, however fulfilled, however happy you're going to be, you can only be in the now. Yeah. And the issue is, if you're going to do something, if you're going to change something, yeah, you have to do it in the now. If you don't manifest it in the now, it will never happen. And I could bring a queue of people in here who have fabulous intentions and really creative ideas, but they don't do anything about it. And it's a bit like, you know, you wake up and you've had a dream and it's the answer to your problems, but you don't write it down, so you forget it. You know, you're in the shower and the most amazing idea comes to you and you don't pay attention to it, you let it go. Whereas if you pay attention in the now and you don't let that mad negative monkey in your head get in the way, yeah, you can actually achieve things that you want, mm-hmm. yeah? But it's right now. If anyone's listening to this and they feel like they want to change, it's like, okay, what are you going to do now? Now, today? What are you going to do to set these things in motion? Or are you just going to think of it as, well, it's a good idea. Yeah, I fancy doing that. But then it's going to be same old, same old. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, they don't have to be that grand ideas, do they? You don't have to be inventing rockets to take us to Mars, or making you know, billions and billions of pounds, you know, creating a publicly listed company or whatever. It can be quite small little tasks.
Yeah, it could be as simple as I'm going to make sure that the people in my street are happy. Yeah, but then go out and do it. Don't think of it as a nice idea. And there's been so many examples of streets where in the lockdown, people have got together as a street and they've actually met outside and chatted, and they've got their own kind of Facebook pages going and, you know, WhatsApp pages, all that kind of stuff. And it's actually brought the community together. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. And you've got to be consistent, right?
Yeah. We know that it takes 30 days to change the way your brain works. If you act persistently and consistently with thoughts, feelings, or actions, it will change the structure of your brain. And that's not a fantasy. You can actually take scans of people's brains, get them doing mindfulness exercises, scan it 1 year, 2 years, and you can see the way the density of the brain tissue develops. It grows. Yeah. But the thing that we know is if you're building a new circuit of neurons and dendrites in your brain, it only develops if you're persistent and consistent about what you're doing. So if you do something for 30 days, you'll get a new set of neurons and dendrites that are the new habits or the new way of thinking or feeling, doing. If you carry on persistently and consistently, and you do that for 90 days in all, so 30 days to get it set up, 60 days to get it embedded, it becomes encoded in the higher cortex and becomes a habit. And the magic about a habit is you don't think about it, you don't feel about it, you just do it because it's a habit. Yeah? And it's getting these things into your head like it's a habit, because it's the whole thing about tomorrow never comes, and that thing about the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's like it's fine, yeah, it's great to have good ideas, but you have to act consistently and persistently now.
Yeah, that's to make why, it happen. It's partly why I'm so fascinated by life returning to normal once the vaccine, once everyone's had their jab in the arm, and because it's like, what is normal and what is the new normal? That was the phrase for a while, wasn't it? And we've all been locked in our homes, and or not locked in, but we've been forming new habits, haven't we, in the last year? We've gone way beyond 90 days of changes in habit. So it's going to be fascinating to see what we return to in the next year or two, as you know, if we're allowed to, if Mother Nature hasn't got any more surprises in store for us. But we
don't know what's going to be out there when we come out of lockdown. I caught something earlier on one of the news feeds that I think said that Thornton's chocolate is going to close all its high street stores.
Yeah.
Is that real? Is it?
Yeah, 60 yeah. shops, something like that. Yeah,
which and that's like another name gone from the high street. I mean, whether you still be able to get Thornton's chocolate in other ways, I don't know. But it's like the high streets shrink all the time. And one of the things about if we're going to use bikes and stuff to go around and do our shopping, we need to do it fairly locally. You know, we don't need to have these big shopping malls where you need a car to go there.
Mm.
You need local people you can go to.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see how it all pans out. It's going to be fascinating. But, yeah, what's this slide about?
We're looking at it's like, how's it been going for you? What's actually going on for you? And what are the skill base you've got? What are the resources you've got? So if you look at it, you have knowledge and understanding from the work that you do on things like these courses, yeah? You have lots of techniques and skills that you can learn on this program and other program, but they're only relevant if you use them. I go to loads of people's houses that have all the CDs and the DVDs, and they have all the books on the bookshelf. I've got hundreds on here. But unless you actually do what it says in the books, it doesn't matter whether you read it. It's like you've got to actually do the things in the now to make it different. And that's the problem, is people are full of good ideas, good intentions, but they don't do it. So things like developing the focused meditation morning and evening to make sure that you are focused in, And we're identifying that that doesn't necessarily mean you've got to sit down on a cushion. You know, you could be doing other things, but being reflective. So, and on the site, you can download the Morning Focus, Evening Review, meditations, just short 5-minute ones, that kind of stuff. Yeah. The key about forgiveness and letting go, stop holding negative crap about you or about other people. It just holds you back. It's no good. Yeah. So forgiveness and letting go. Getting into the gratitude, being able to focus on the positive, maybe at the end of every day, maybe before you go to sleep, just go back through the day and actually focus on all the positive things that have happened. And it could be that something happened that was a difficult situation today that you didn't like, but when you review it from your evening review, that you're looking at it thinking, well, thank you for that lesson. I've learned something from that. That's just been positive. It's changed my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily have to be gratitude about all amazing things. There might be some tough stuff that actually you think, no, it's good. Yeah, and that confirmation of visualization and affirmation. It's like if you go to an interview, you have to visualize yourself walking out with the job, and you need those positive affirmations about, yes, I'm worth this. I can do this. This is going to be great. If we're going into the interview thinking, oh, my God, oh, no, I'm not good enough. And guess what happens? It's life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So learning to focus on the positive in the now is the key. Yeah. So we're looking at ways that you can reinforce this. So lots of people that I know write journals. And they're not writing journals for other people. They're writing journals to reinforce stuff for themselves. Yeah. So it's the issue of if you do a morning journal and you've got an intentional writing about the good things that are going to happen today, you've got a gratitude journal usually in the evening, which is the gratitude about what's happened. Yeah. Sure. Acknowledging the law of attraction, you know, deliberate creation. Make sure that your intention is there for everything that you do for the day, you know, and don't allow that negative reversed effort. We were looking at Kuei's law of reversed effort last time, yeah? Where we started something called the Mind Bank, but anybody who's in a group of people, if you can gather together and create a mind bank, shared ideas, shared resources, yeah, that is such a powerful feed for you because you're not doing it on your own. You're not alone in it. Yeah.
Big time.
And having that kind of access to help, you know, knowing that you're going to be okay, which is good. Yeah.
Well, you've got overload of knowledge written here. Is this a part where people can start to feel like, because they're getting towards the end of the course and there's a lot to do and a lot to take in, and we don't want to overwhelm people too much?
Well, one of the things that, you know, we said earlier on about you can read a book several times and each time you get something different out of it because you've changed your mindset so that you're actually appreciating, seeing, getting ideas that you didn't get the first time round. So when you look at something like this program, you know, people have been through it, they've downloaded the chapters and read the chapters, and it's okay if you've done it. Do you need to do it again? Because very often people, when the first time they do something, they're getting into the mood, they're getting the idea. Being able to go back and do it again is maybe the key, you know.
Spreading the word as well, you know. I mean, not just to boost our podcast figures, but also it's about sharing the... Because sometimes when you undertake a new philosophy or a new planning or a new direction in your life, you can feel as if you're a bit on your own because the rest of the people in your life aren't up to speed or maybe don't understand. So is it important to kind of share with people what you're doing and invite them to come along for the journey as well?
Yeah, but also when you do that, you have to accept the fact that some people maybe are not going to be going, yeah, whoopee-doo-dah, hey, what are we going to do? You know, some people are going to go, oh, bloody hell, your problem is you think too much. Why can't you just be happy with what you got? What do you know? And it's that, all that, you're getting back all that stuff about, you know, old dogs can't learn new tricks and better the devil, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Let's all stay negative because we all know what that's like and that's normal. You know, whoever told you you're supposed to be happy or fulfilled? And you bang into all that, and that's where you really do have to learn to separate out from it. Sometimes you can smile pat them on the head and give them a dog biscuit and let them get on with it. But sometimes there are occasions where you think, no, I actually have to move away from this situation or move away from that person or these people and stop being kind of reinfected with their negativity and stay with the positive. You
know? All right, cool. So that's kind of week nine done. What's coming up next week in the final step, a little preview?
Well, the final step is what you're going to do from here. You know, okay, you've done all this stuff. What are you actually going to do? That's the thing. Mm. Yeah, all this stuff is theoretical. What are you going to do? Yeah. So, and that's where this is the difference between that 10 steps course, that was a good idea, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm. And don't do anything about it. Yeah. And then 10 years time, someone says, do you remember that 10th? Oh, it's good. Oh, I really enjoyed that. It was great. But I wouldn't mind doing that again. But if you don't actually do any of the things, and it's not just this course, it's like any of the books that you read, you know, the self-help books. If you don't do what it says in the book, nothing changes. Yeah. You can read books for the rest of your life. Nothing's going to be any different. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right, cool. We'll come on to that next week. But yeah, livingthepresent.co.uk, all the notes and links and the free download for the book. And Sean, I'll see you next time for the next stunning, exciting episode, eh?
Keep smiling.
All right. See you later.
See ya. Take care. Bye.